welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne, and if you're a returning guest listening, you usually hear, and I'm Kendra, but she is out for the day. She is on a family vacation, and so we wish her well as she's traveling, but it's just me today. But if you're watching, you'll see I'm here with two, I call y'all friends, even though y'all are older than me, like y'all have a daughter my age, but y'all are friends. And so I have two friends here that are going to tell an amazing story in just a second. If you're new to the program, whether on the radio or podcast-wise, we are called Hannah's Heart, and we are a ministry that focuses mainly on couples sharing their stories through infertility and miscarriage, but we have definitely broadened those topics to child loss and adoption and foster care and singleness and just however the Lord has seen fit to grow your faith, grow your family. And we've just learned so much over the few years of doing this now, just how unique each story is and just how awesome our God is. And that is what we're going to talk about with you guys today. We are here with Dr. Ronnie Young and his sweet wife, Miss Tammy Young. And they're going to talk about their interesting story, very unique story of adoption.
Yes.
You want to start?
You go ahead.
Well, we are older, and most people who adopt are much younger. Sometimes it's after issues with infertility or other problems. We were kind of late in life, and we had children that were, one had graduated from college, one was in college, and with that, we started asking ourselves, what could we do that would be kingdom investments, that would not be something that's the typical worldly thing to do, that would be different? And so we started thinking about things. After our kids were in college, we were open to whatever God led us to, and there were some exchange students that came into our homes, and we had a chance to invest in the lives of three different kids for 9 months at a time. And I think that helped open our hearts. After that second child, we were actually on a trip one day when I was off, and we started asking each other, what could we do? What could we do that's not the traditional American thing to do, to spend money on yourself, to do the worldly things? We wanted something that was kingdom-type investment. And so we mentioned several different things. One of those things were adoption. You do better as far as this story, so you should probably take up where this is. And at this point, we were right at 50 years old, and it was one of the things that came up.
And life just started slowing down, and y'all just couldn't take that.
Well, I don't know about that. But we just felt like, you know, surely God's not done with us yet.
Yeah.
And so we had this conversation in the car. We threw out different things, adoption, taking in unwed mothers, you know, several things. And we just agreed to pray about it and just see what happened.
And this is without your kiddos, your grown children
just,
knowing.
Right. We had one in Birmingham and actually one in Bolivia at the time.
Okay.
And so we prayed about it. We didn't tell a soul about that conversation. We just decided, let's just do this. And so about 2 weeks later, I got a random phone call from someone that was working at New Beginnings Adoption Agency. We really did not have any connections to New Beginnings at the time. And she called and said, I don't know if this is something that you and Ronnie would be interested in, but we are bringing 6 orphans to Tupelo for 2 weeks, for a 2-week summer camp. And we need host homes. And I just feel like the Lord put you on my heart.
Wow.
Well, I was actually in the middle of preparing a luncheon for about 20 women, and so I was just kind of taken back because I thought, oh, Lord, are you kidding?
And Ron says it's only going to be a 2-week thing.
Yeah. So I texted Ronnie because I didn't have time to call him, and I said, you will never believe the phone call we just received. God is up to something.
God is up to something.
Yes, he was. And about 30 minutes later, he texted me back and said, who are we adopting?
Oh, my word. Wow. And this is before you knew anything, any details, really.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I had not even told him that it was, you know, adoption. Like it was. So we really kind of felt like that was the Lord's confirmation that this is the path I want you to take. Wow. So we had the opportunity to look over a list of kids that were coming and, you know, see if there was one that we were drawn to. And we thought, okay, Lord, if you're calling us to adopt, we're older, we don't have any kids at home, we don't want this to be an only child. So we looked for a child who had a sibling that was up for adoption as well. And there was only one.
Wow.
And these were older children.
Okay. Yes.
We decided, okay, and if we're going to do this, because of our age, you know, we start thinking, what if we don't live long enough and they have to be, and they're orphans again. Those are things that come into people's minds. But we said, hey, if God's calling us to this, he's going to take care of those things.
And by older, that would?
Well, Miles at that time was 9.
Okay.
When we hosted him. And so we chose him. We sent that list to both of our, we have adult children, and we sent that list to our daughter in Birmingham and our son who was in Bolivia at the time and just said, they kind of knew what was going on. And look over this list and just see if you're drawn to any one child. They both chose the same child that we chose.
My word.
We
for
didn't
different
tell
reasons.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah, because they had some descriptions about those children.
Okay,
and so there were little things that each of our older children said, this is the one. And so without our input and without each other's input, so that was another affirmation for us.
So we hosted him for 2 weeks, and we knew, I mean, it was hard. He spoke no English, and so we had to use a translation app, and it was—
Sign language.
A lot of sign language, yes.
Like motions.
Yes. But our hearts were just so drawn to him, and we just really felt like this is what the Lord has for us.
Now, were your other two kids, were they there when y'all hosted?
They came home for part of that time.
Yeah, our oldest, Kyle, went back to Bolivia while we were here because we went to Birmingham one day.
He must have been home for part of the summer.
And so he was there for about a week, and Kira— okay. Was there for maybe a little bit at the time.
So they got to meet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, that's so neat. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So the day he left to go back, that was really one of the hardest days because we knew at that point that we wanted to adopt him.
Okay.
But we were not allowed to tell him.
Oh.
Because they don't want to get the child's hopes up.
Yeah.
And then something happened.
Right.
And
I
so
get that.
It just broke our hearts. But we were both crying when he was walking down the airport and turned around and waving to us. Because, you know, I'm thinking, this child's thinking, they don't want me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we knew we did.
Wow.
So we started that process and it took about 19 months.
Okay. And this is all through, so you mentioned New Beginnings. That is an adoption agency for people who aren't from here. That's an adoption agency here in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Right.
And so all of this was through that
program. Right. Yes.
Okay.
It was a long process, a busy process. And there were some things that were stressors in that because, as you know, you know, you love to train up a child, and we have kids that are now, we want in our homes before they get to be a teenagers, that time in life when parents know nothing.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to have that time, that input before puberty and teenage years, because it was going to be a harder, you know, transition for them as well.
Yeah. And so Miles is the one that y'all were getting to know who came to stay, and he was 9, but he had a little brother.
He had a little brother.
Okay.
And we met Miller through Skype.
Okay.
And Miles and Miller are their American names. Miles chose that name. Well, we gave him a list of names to choose from if he wanted an American name when he was here, because we had been told that sometimes they'll pick things like SpongeBob or something.
Right.
And so he chose Miles. And so we met Miller sometime within that 19 months. I don't remember how far we were into it through Skype is how we met him.
It was probably close to a year before we met him.
And at this time, Miles then knew the news of y'all wanting to adopt?
I think when
it was probably over a year before when we Skyped with them and they told
they
him
told them.
That we were wanting to adopt. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't tell before that time.
Wow.
The paperwork had been far enough along that that they could tell at that time. And then it was a couple trips to Taiwan. We met the birth mom and went to court and spent some time with them. And then 3 months later, we were able to go back and pick them up and bring them home.
So birth mom was still in the picture in some way?
Their dad had passed away.
Okay.
And their birth mom was just unable to care for them.
Wow.
And so they were, you know, kind of on their own for a bit. And Miles had to grow up really fast.
Yeah.
And then they were taken in by the orphanage. So they were in the orphanage for about 5 years.
Okay. Yeah, that's a long time.
But we had a chance to speak with that birth mother and tell her that we are going to take care of her two children that she was not able to. She just could not. And so that was a special time as well because that's not an easy thing to do for moms who choose to give a baby up.
Yeah. Very selfless for on her
and
part.
I feel like the Lord really, like, we didn't really know until the day before. We were in Taiwan. We didn't know until the night before that she was going to be at court. And you know, honestly, I was a little nervous.
Yeah.
But now I realize that was such a gift from the Lord.
Yeah.
To be able to meet her and to be able to tell her that we loved her boys and that we were going to take care of them and do everything in our power to give them a good life and hug her. And then we went out to lunch with the whole family. There were several step siblings. And so it really was a beautiful time.
Yeah.
Very
something
hard,
that-
but.
For y'all to be able to share with your boys now, you know, the fact that you have that special memory and even bond, you know, with their biological mom.
Right. And we even have pictures of the boys and with me and with her.
Wow.
And with us
that
and
is
their
beautiful.
Family.
I love
so,
that.
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's a very, from, I don't know much about international adoption or really, I guess, any type of adoption, but like, you're not usually there with any biological family, you know, or having that good of an experience.
And it was kind of surprising to us. And they weren't sure if mom would show up because they were not living in the same town even.
She was like 5 or 6 hours away, wasn't she? But she rode a train.
But they had to, she had to say before the judge that, hey, I allow this to happen. And the both of the boys had to sit before the judge and say, yes, I want this to happen. And you know, we didn't think it was going to happen because the judge said how difficult this is going to be. You're going to go to another language that you're not going to, another country with another language that you're not going to know kids. You're not going to like their food. You're not going to know anything. You're going to leave everything you know, and it's going to be very hard, but you cannot come back if you say yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we're thinking, uh-oh.
Okay, so we're done now.
But she asked, do you want to be adopted by this family? And they said yes.
Wow. So they were chosen, and y'all were also chosen. Okay, the age differences between Miles and Miller?
About 3.5 years. So when we got them, they were 7 and 11.
Okay, so when they came home. Wow, and did what did big kids think, or y'all's adult children think about this? What was...
I think they were fine. You know, they're believers and in ministry. We talk with them. We share with family. Very supportive. You know, I think our daughter may have, because we were open initially, told them, "Hey, we're open to whatever God has for us." And she may have gotten a little bit a jealousy, thinking we could have possibly adopted two girls. She liked being dad's only little girl, so that didn't work out.
She was happy that it was two boys, so she still could be daddy's little girl.
Excited, supportive, and
they were. But that's not to say that it was not difficult at times for them, because family life as they knew it was changing drastically.
Right.
And so
and
there was
not
a
being
sense
a part of a lot of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, there was a little sense of loss for them too. But now, I mean, you know, just one big family.
Yeah, for sure.
And we realized that God didn't say this would be easy.
Right.
When you adopt kids, there's always past trauma and issues that are going to come up, and it's not easy, but God didn't promise us an easy life.
Is that so? Could y'all speak on that just a little bit for people who might be considering, you know, adopting overseas adoptions?
Yeah, I think there's some great resources out there. One thing that's been most encouraging for us is probably CAFO. Christian Alliance for Orphans. There's a national meeting each year that have some great speakers that come from all around the world and do conferences that talk about every kind of issue. There are people who have kids that are in jail. There are people who have, you know, 10 kids in their home. There's all different types of things. There's psychological issues that go that people speak to. That's probably one of the most encouraging things post-adoption that we've been a part of. Plus, there's obviously great book resources that are out there that we read all those things before. And most adoption agencies are going to have some great resources. And matter of fact, even in that adoption process, there are books you read and information they give you that you basically study and learn and try to prepare as best you can, but you can't be fully prepared.
Wow.
And I think, too, finding a community of people who have a similar situation, whether it's adoption or foster care, because you face a lot of the same kind of issues.
Right.
And you don't really understand it unless you've walked it.
Right.
And so some of my dearest friends are friends. I have one friend who has a son that she adopted who's the same age as Miles from Taiwan.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
And he and Miles are friends.
Yeah.
And so that's been a neat thing here. And then, you know, his mom and I are very close. And it's an opportunity to have somebody on those hard days to say, hey, can I vent for a minute? You know, because I mean, that's just reality,
right?
It is a beautiful thing.
But I was going to say it's beautiful, but it's also broken.
Yes, it is.
These kids come from a broken home, and we all know that that's not how the Lord intended families to be. But adoption is then so beautiful because we're all adopted in the Lord, you know.
And we're all broken after Genesis 3.
That's very true.
We need someone to rescue us.
Yeah, yeah. And so, it's not how it should be. But then, like, praise the Lord for adoption, for forming literally new families, you know. And for y'all being willing. And then such a beautiful story that the boys were also willing, you know, for this, even after hearing all the warning signs, you know, for them. Okay, can we talk about teenagers for a little bit?
You really want to talk about teenagers? No, kidding.
No. I'll say that one of the biggest things, we've raised two sets of teenagers now.
Okay,
in different kind of generations because we have a son that's 33 and a daughter that's 30. It was before social media when they came through, before the access we have on phones now. And so it is a different world out there, as you know, and you are fighting those battles all the time. And no matter what you have as far as trying to put Fort Knox on your TVs and media and everything else, Satan finds a way to get to kids. And so it's a constant battle that we didn't have with the first set of kids that's different this time.
Wow.
And plus with the brokenness that they come from, there are a whole set of issues that we're constantly kind of dealing with.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say. You know, it's been difficult at times for them too. And I would say especially for Miles, in that, you know, he knew his birth dad. Miller did not. He was little. He was two. Miles had lots of friends in Taiwan. Like, they had a big party for him the night before we left. There were like 50 kids that came
to the orphanage.
And so that has been a really hard thing for him. And so he's still deals with some of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, teenagers deal with that kind of stuff anyway.
Right, right.
It's but hard then enough. You, when you've got more layers on top of it, mm-hmm. And so we've found some good Christian counselors. We've been through some therapy, but we approach parenting and teenagehood, I think, differently now than we did with our older kids.
Sure. Different expectations.
Right, mm-hmm. different expectations. A lot more grace, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure even like scholastically, like learning, like they were much further behind English. You know,
well, they didn't speak English.
Right.
Even
right.
when they came. And yeah. and so you're an English learner and it's a whole new culture. And so, yeah,
Clicks
we
have
I had a, yeah. oh, yeah, yeah. It's hard to move into, Miles was fifth grade. And, of course, Miller was young. We held him back. He was started first grade. But, you know, by that age, those kids start forming mm-hmm. their little friends and cliques. And yeah. you look different. You don't talk. You don't speak the language. You know, you're just. And so, you know, that's hard at times. But I will say now, like Miles especially has found this core of strong Christian friends from church.
Wow.
And it has been such a good thing to see him. And he feels accepted,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And
it seems like from an outsider looking in on, we've adopted, but ours was through foster care. But even that standpoint, it seems like more and more people are adopting, you know, at least it seems like it from, my standpoint. But yeah, you still always do look different than your entire family, you know, and that's the way it is for our little boy, Mark. Mm-hmm. He will always look different than us. And so, mm-hmm. Those are things that I've worried about too, you know, just like acceptance of, you know, he's three and he, with me expecting, he will say like, well, when I was in your belly, mama, when, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. so it starts out there, you know, mm-hmm. explaining. And so, and yeah, just knowing that will continue and, you know, crying, you're getting upset while ago talking about like, he's had a hard time fitting in sometimes. That does break your heart.
It does.
Because there's enough to mm-hmm. deal with anyway. And so for that to
and
be.
We realized too, like I was thinking about going through, he graduated this year.
Yeah.
And going through all the senior stuff, you know, they want baby pictures mm-hmm. to put up in the slideshow and stuff. And, you know, I was like, Miles, the youngest picture we have is when you were five. And he was fine with that.
Yeah. We just found a baby picture on the internet.
No, we did not. We told him we were going to do that.
No
he
one
thought
would
that
know.
Was funny, you know. but, funny. You know, I think there will always be things that he has to deal with,
right,
you
right.
know, and Miller too.
Yeah.
We take it one day at a time. We've learned to live life. Sometimes it's one minute at a time, one
which I'm
hour
sure is different than
time.
What it looked like with your older kids. Y'all might have been able to be more scheduled and planned out, and then with these, just different.
Yes, there's still a lot of prayer over them for mm-hmm. protection until they get through this phase, and God redirects or directs their hearts to where he wants them down the road.
For
and
sure.
they both have made professions of faith.
Oh, well, that's amazing.
Which
yeah.
has been, you know, I mean, that's what it's that's all
the,
really about.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
But that's not to say that they don't struggle.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And so, lots of prayer. Lots of prayer for them.
And you brought up, you know, more people need to probably be available for adoption with the reversal of Roe v. Wade. There are more people who are now considering adoption through our crisis pregnancy centers, and so that's something that is a great time for believers to step up. One of the things for us to say with that, we were doing a marriage booklet, Lisa and Francis Chan's book,
You and Me Forever.
You and Me Forever. And one of the things that kind of hit us is that, you know, we use Romans 12 to don't conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind and looking for God to show us what he wants us to do. But he's already told us, you know, we often go to James 1:27, you know, to take care of widows and orphans. But the rest of that verse talks about being unstained from the world. And the world tells us to spend money on ourselves and do this and do that. And being unstained from the world is one of the things that, and realizing that God's already told us to do this. We don't have to wait for a lightning bolt.
Right. Are we supposed to?
Or something. Yeah. He's already told us to do that. So it's something that's important.
No, I love that. We only have a few seconds left, but I so appreciate y'all coming on and telling, I mean, really another standpoint of adoption, because we do have so many people on that have struggled with infertility, and so they feel like this might be their only way. Y'all already had two kids. Y'all were done with this phase of life, mm-hmm. and you chose to step right back into it.
It's a great midlife crisis. Instead of buying a car, you know.
There you go. We got two kiddos. Well, I love that. Thank y'all so much for coming on. And we hope to have you back listening to Hannah's Heart again next week. And we appreciate you being here.